Yeah, but that's a steep price to pay for something with, I would say, very little return.
Okay. I didn't
An
know,
Amazon bestseller is pretty easy, to be honest with you. And I
okay.
don't know that it really reaps the rewards that everybody thinks it does. Being a New York Times bestseller does, because then you're hitting mainstream. You're hitting the people that buy one book a year. But on Amazon, being a bestseller, there's thousands of bestsellers. It doesn't really, it's not the most significant thing. People like the label, but from a sales standpoint, it's, you can still sell a lot of books and not be a bestseller, and vice versa.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I just think from a strategy perspective, I don't think that would make sense.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't know any, I've never read a book. So I don't know
Yeah.
if it's, I wrote an ebook once.
Yeah, it's interesting to see this up there though on Amazon now. Because it's not like it's loaded on there like a product would be versus like a book is traditionally. So it's the sales page is a little different. It's just interesting how Amazon does that.
It's a Freedom Journal, right?
So now we got Dave on. What's going on, Dave? Mike, what's going on? Michelle, what's going on? Nick. Going on, man? What's the good word, Nick?
Guys. I'm happy to see that Tom doesn't have much more hair on top than I do, so.
No, man, it's going quick. I'm tired of it. I'm getting rid of it slowly.
Me too, just not quite so slow.
How's everything going?
Not so great on the snow and shovel side. The software didn't work. I got out there, I got a bunch of people signed up, and when I went and got user feedback, it was just too glitchy. It wasn't working. The whole process didn't work out. So went back to the developer and went on and actually got some second and third opinions, and the software has to get reworked, so I'm dead in the water for this season
Yep.
for sure.
Well, hey man, I mean, it's one of those things. You never know how that stuff's going to pan out, to be honest with you. Those are kind of the hurdles. What I guess would be my question would be, now you have a whole year to prep for what is your big season. What are your plans now?
Well, I have to figure out another way to go about it and get the software built. And I have to decide whether that cost is worth it to me, or if I want to maybe count my losses and move on to a better project, or a project that's more suited to me, something that I can be more hands-on with. Software development is tricky. I don't have background in it, and we took a good shot at it, but at the end of the day, it's still complex and there's still a lot of things that can go wrong. So I'm kind of in the reevaluating stage at the moment myself.
You also
There's a rush
started with probably the
now.
hardest kind of software you can, which is platform software.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a challenge, but hopefully there's
Hey,
some learning lessons. So
if it worked out, it would have been a killer product, right? And so at the end of the day, with the risk, we always knew this was the risk, and I planned for it. So it hurts, but it doesn't hurt that bad.
Hey Nick, do you mind actually if we can start maybe the call off? I'd love to hear like lessons learned
Yeah.
looking back. I mean, it was a big risk. It was something that, I mean, not only seasonal because we didn't have the best, season for snow this winter. It's already pretty
Well,
much gone.
it's a killer season here right now. It's been
Oh, you guys,
gangbusters
you're
since
getting a lot.
February. It's February. Yeah, just crazy. But
Well,
yeah,
yeah.
we can go over that if you want.
Yeah, I would love to hear just some of the things you're picking up, because I mean it was it, yeah, taking on that software and you not having that background, it
Yeah, it was interesting. I mean, in terms of lessons learned, software is complicated, obviously. I learned actually a whole bunch of code. I learned how to code a basic website myself now, and I learned just a ton about WordPress, but WordPress doesn't work for a platform, and a developer that's a reasonable price is, you know what, still the reviews are out there. There's still a lot of people that get reasonably priced developers producing a minimum viable product that works, and that's what I was going for, and mine just couldn't quite put together that minimum viable product. So That's the risk. I would say definitely don't pay 100% up front. That would be a terrible idea. Do a series of deposits. So I had a series of deposits in place, and I paid very little up front, just enough to keep the developer working, and so my loss at the end of the day is very small. But again, at the end of the day, I don't have a product that works, so it's a 100% loss. And timelines. The timeline was a lot longer than they suggested it would be. So what I got quoted on, just everything, every little piece. It's just like building a friggin' house. The contractor says, hey, it's going to take 2 weeks. We'll have all your doors on in 2 weeks, and 4 weeks later, they're putting on doors. It's the same with software, 100%. Just little piddly nonsense delays, but it all adds up. Everything took twice as long as they said it would, just because it all adds up. And then when you start integrating things like PayPal, so just integrating PayPal into the website, I found out that PayPal has to approve your applications. And in that approvals process, they will blame you for every error that happens. They'll say it's your software, but a bunch of the errors that we had initially in testing were on the PayPal side. They didn't actually give us all the permissions required. So don't just bash your head against a wall when you're having issues with PayPal. Get on the horn and talk to PayPal yourself and find out what might be going on. And ask that question. That's how I ultimately got a bunch of things solved, is I called myself and I just said, hey, what might be the issue here? And they'd list off a bunch of things, and I said, well, is it that? And they said, no. And I said, is it that? And they said, no. And I said, is it that? And they went, oh, yeah, it is. We'll fix that tomorrow. I'm like, okay, thank goodness. So PayPal, wickedly helpful and fantastic resource, but they blamed us for everything, and a few of the things were just permissions on their side. So, I mean, a lot of the problems were on our end too, so that's that. What else is there? PayPal is awesome. Yeah, don't pay 100% up front. That would be stupid. Pay as little as you can up front.
Do you feel if you would have get? I mean, there's talk about programmers, about how the difference between a good and an amazing is not like just a little bit. It's actually a multiplication factor. Is it something that maybe in hindsight you would have gone with the guy that cost four times as much and gotten 10 times the product?
You know, maybe the thing is, for me, and this is, everybody's in their own unique position, but I funded this 100% on my own. And when we started at the outset, I knew all of our weaknesses. So I don't have a background in software. I'm new to the marketplace, new to internet marketing, the whole shitteroo. Like, there's all of these things that are potentially going against us. But there's a whole bunch of positive potential as well. If the software worked, it's a neat idea. People bought into it. People, when I talked to them, they liked the idea. I felt I could sell the idea if we could get a product that worked. The risk being that it didn't, and our biggest risk going into it was that the software just wouldn't work, that we'd go through all of this effort and we'd turn out software that won't fly. And the risk of that is 100% loss on the initial investment. If I buy software and then we find out it doesn't work, or on the other end, we get software, we get the full delivery of it, but then we find out that it wasn't good enough to handle the traffic required, because that is the other risk when we get an MVP out is, yeah, it works for 30 people, but does it work for 300 people? So those were a couple risks. If we paid the whole thing out, it would be 100% loss if the thing didn't work out. So in terms of paying four times more, I don't think that's a guarantee that somebody's going to be able to turn out the work. I think that there is a number there that if you pay enough, you're guaranteed to get somebody that can produce a product. But then you run into the other risks is if the product wasn't, if it wasn't a good idea in the first place or didn't catch on, or somebody was faster to market than you and you lost your market share, it's a big investment loss there again. So I would be hesitant to spend a lot of money. I'd be hesitant to spend four times more without knowing for sure that I had the right person. And I would have to, I think, know that. To pay that much, I would have to know that person personally, not just someone I found online. And four times, I don't think is enough. If I was going to do it with somebody, I'd probably pay 10 times more and have a team of three quality developers working on it and know that I'm going to get a product out of the gate. But for that, I need funding.
Have you thought about looking at funding, Nick?
I've thought about it. I don't think I personally have a strong enough background in software to elicit funding without... I was hoping that I'd get my MVP out there, get it running, and then be able to use that to springboard into some funding. That didn't work out quite that way, so I don't personally feel like I have the background that anyone's going to give me funding for a project quite like this. But I'm still open to the idea of entertaining it. Like I said, I'm kind of in the regrouping phase at the moment.
How much funding did you need? I know it's kind of a big question, but I guess how much funding did you need? Like, was it? I mean, are we talking 50 or more, or 50 or less?
Yeah, if I were to do this again and start from scratch, I would spend more than 50 for sure. Just based on what I've experienced with the developers on the lower end of the scale, I would be looking to either hire somebody experienced full-time for a period of time. That's going to cost. You're just not going to hire somebody that's of quality on a à la carte basis for very little. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
I tried that, didn't work.
I can tell you something. I'm doing some software too, and I've been kind of looking for funding as well because my developer backed out. And something that we did is I went and talked to a few other entrepreneurs, and they knew some really high-class developers that I couldn't afford.
Yeah.
But I sweated equity and said, hey, I'll give you a small, very, very small percentage to just stay on as a project manager base. So that way, whenever I go talk to investors, I have a guy with me that knows what the hell he's talking about. And all you have to do is show up for the meetings, and we've been getting a little bit of success, kind of some traction going with that.
And that's not a bad idea. I don't think I'd go for a marketplace platform quite with such little involvement from the developer, just because it's complex software. And I realize that now, that it is very complex software. Another one of the lessons learned, though, is that WordPress developers are a dime a dozen, and for very basic WordPress things, you shouldn't be paying much at all.
Yeah.
If you don't need to take anything overly complicated, for instance, if your users aren't interfacing with each other, you can get WordPress work done very cheap. The plugins, templates, everything that's available out there to the developers, it's almost plug and play. I can almost do most of the WordPress stuff, and that's one of the things that disappointed me with my developers. I thought that they were building a platform from scratch or off the basis of some sort of framework, and it turns out they were using WordPress. Which is really what screwed us, because the WordPress framework isn't appropriate for what we're trying to do, not even kind of. But in the process of doing this, I learned that the WordPress framework is amazing for web tools and has so much plug-and-play operability. I can, by the end of this project, when I finally wash my hands of the developer, I could go in, I could manipulate the entire platform that they built. And I had. I'd rebuilt it a couple of times myself, which tells me that it's not very good. it was just way, way too simple for what was supposed to happen. But if you're doing simple things, WordPress is great, and it shouldn't cost you a whole ton, because if I can do it, anybody can. I think the software I was just trying to make was a little bit too complicated for the route I was trying to go and the amount I wanted to spend. And that spend all came down to the risk-reward analysis was, what am I willing to risk for a project that I don't know anything about? And at the end of the day, my loss is paying for my education. I know how to code. I know HTML and CSS and WordPress. I can make my next website myself if it's not overly complicated.
Well, if it's...
So what is your...
I was just going to say, Nick, if it's any consolation, I lost $10,000 on my first site, and I learned the same thing. I learned how to basically build a website with HTML. So I had to do it myself because they delivered basically a – now that I've got kids, I don't like this analogy as much, but basically it was like a stillborn. It technically met the terms, but the website didn't work. And I had found another guy that could come in, and literally we like put a patch in the website that was functional. He built it. He looked at what those other guys did, and he was like, this is complete crap. He built the bare minimum project. And from that, I was able to build a $500,000 a year company, which was a tailored suit. And but then I ended up shutting it down. But it was those lessons learned, I think, in the first 5 years running that online custom clothier, which it took me 5 years to actually shut it down. But I was very hard-headed. But it was one of those things that, yeah, you pick up these skill sets. So now whenever somebody tries to sell me, because I did all my SEO, so if anyone ever tries to sell me on SEO, it's like I can basically smell shit. You know, I can smell it. I know if you're trying to blow smoke up my ass, and I'm not gonna go with that. And I immediately can cut that off, and it saved me. I look at that $10,000 education has probably saved me, you know, easily $100,000 in not wasting money with people that are trying to sell me the world but can't deliver.
Yeah, it's lessons learned in that regard. So that's on the software side. In terms of other lessons learned in the project, so when I got something that I thought was going to meet the requirements of my MVP, I decided to test it, but I decided to go all in. I mean, the season was coming to an end, and there was that big Snowmageddon storm in the northeast coast there. And I ended up putting out Facebook ads is what I decided to do to try and get some traffic in. There's no snow anywhere in Canada yet, so forget it. Big snowstorm coming up the east coast. So I decided I put together Facebook's ad. I had them all ready to go anyways, so I tailored them a little bit. And I bought a massive swath of area on Facebook and just waited until the first person signed up. The first person signed up in Baltimore. It didn't take very long. And so I immediately took the whole swath of ads, targeted it to Baltimore, and I got our first couple hundred users in the first couple of days, which was nice. And it really didn't cost very much. I think I was running it based off the webinar that we had where I can't remember the guy's name there, but he was saying start your campaigns with like $10 a day, and that's what I did. I just started super small. I got a whole bunch of people signed up, and that's how I found out that it didn't work. a bunch of people signed up, a bunch of people put jobs out there, and then nothing was happening. We're hearing crickets. I was like, well, what's going on here? So I end up sending out emailers to everybody, and I end up on the phone with some people and just getting feedback, and I found out that parts of the site were dropping out in the process. And so the jobs that were getting posted, say, for instance, you post a job, you go to make the payment happen, and your internet connection gets interrupted or something happens in cyberspace, and that job, instead of getting posted to the public page, goes into a draft. And now it's just gone, but the user doesn't have access to the back end, so they don't see any of the drafts. They can't do it. They have to go make it again. So people were posting multiple times to get their thing up, and then people couldn't actually bid on things because it wouldn't accept their PayPal names, and there was just so many errors that were lining up, and everybody was experiencing a slightly different minor error, but compounded, it meant that the system was totally non-functional. But in terms of that, I learned that Facebook advertising is incredibly powerful and effective if you have good copy and images. Images, I think, are probably the biggest thing. And I got a lot of traction pretty quickly and pretty cheaply by targeting what I would say was the right group of people, people with a need for the product that I had, just at the right time. And I think that if I had a product that I knew was working and I would have spent more on Facebook advertising at that time, I would have signed up a lot more people a lot faster. So that can go maybe help some of you guys. It was neat to get into the Facebook system and just see how many attributes you can choose. You can really narrow down your list to a very specific group of people. And I would say that that's the number one thing. So I end up running a bunch of different attribute sets, and you get to see exactly who's interacting with what, and dropping off the non-functioning attribute sets really quick was super easy to do. It was easy to see what people were interacting with and what people weren't, what people were sharing, who was sharing. I mean, I creeped the shit out of my Facebook customers, I suppose, the people that interacted with it anyway. If they shared it, if they liked it, if they went onto the web page, I creeped the crap out of everybody and found out a lot about my potential customers or who was interested and who was looking. So I thought that was really, really powerful. Didn't end with anything substantial for me yet, but that was neat to do. What else have I learned? That's about all the big ones, I suppose.
Do you have a database of leads now?
A database of leads for the site?
Yes.
Yeah, I have all the contact information of all the clients that we had.
How many?
I think it's got 240. Those are just the ones that didn't tell me to fuck off because it didn't work. there's a few of those in there, too. But surprisingly, when I asked people, I knew there was a problem. So it started off and it was going well and people were signing up and then jobs started getting posted. I was like, oh, right on, things are going well. And then just crickets. I was like, uh-oh, there's a problem here. And I knew that there was a problem there. And I asked. I just sent out emailers to everybody and I asked. And I said, hey, look, what's going on? And the response I got back was surprising. I was really surprised, especially given the number of problems that people had had. People were very, overall, very polite and open about their experience. And everybody that I talked to said, yeah, I like the idea, but it doesn't work. And I got people to elaborate on that. And I had three or four emails from the same people. People that used a product that didn't work at all on the internet would take the time to write three or four responses sometimes, which was nice, nice to have, and really surprised the crap out of me.
So my question would be, what would you do differently, or kind of, I mean, hypothetically, you're kind of almost starting over if you were to continue to pursue this. So what would be the path to making this work for next season?
I need a developer that can actually build the product. More than anything.
Right.
Product has to exist. And like I said, I don't know if I have the stomach for that. Based on what I anticipate it will actually cost now. I'm not sure if that's the best path for me to go down.
How about like a technical co-founder?
A technical co-founder would be what's required. So if I could find somebody that has the technical ability to build it out and make it work, then we'd have a product that we could run with. Again, my strategy was to get an MVP out there and then use that to springboard myself into even a technical co-founder relationship because from what I understand, they're hard to find these days too. Everybody's got a project out there on the go, and that MVP was going to be nice to have. Now I'm kind of starting from scratch again, or so it feels. I have a very small list of people that were interested. I took down the Facebook page and everything because the product doesn't exist anymore. People can't go find it. I'm pretty much at square zero again in terms of that, just a bunch of lessons learned and a little bit of money spent.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions about this? I mean, I think you definitely dropped some like good wisdom and knowledge. I mean, I think
I got one more thing to add to everybody. So, lead pages. I used lead pages to build a bunch of middle ground between my Facebook ads and the actual user site, and that worked out really well. So, you guys all kind of took a look at my user site, and I wanted a site where you show up and you're not messing around with a whole bunch of description and words. I wanted something users could get into quickly and easily. And so in order to get people from the ad to the website, I used some lead pages, and I tailored them specifically to the attributes of the Facebook user that I was targeting. So if I was targeting you to shovel snow and make money, that's the page that I made where it described how you can make money shoveling snow. And if I was targeting homeowners, that's the page I had where I described how you can actually get your snow cleared. And that worked really well. That feedback I got on those was that it was really descriptive. It worked really well. And based on the Google numbers from the tracking data, the people that moved from the ad to the lead page to the site signed up. That's how that flow worked. And it was really easy to build. So in my initial product, when I went to the developer, I wanted a platform built. And I didn't put in the initial contract or agreement to build the website any of the advertising pages because it wasn't a focus at the time. And so I got to the end, I was like, oh, I'm going to need some pages to help this along. And the lead pages were really easy to use, really easy to build, and they helped out a ton. So I think that was a super useful resource. If anybody's looking for that middle ground page or even just a sales page, they're super, super easy to use and very effective. Their tracking was easy to implement on them. Just, can't say more about the ease of use of lead pages.
That's awesome. Cool. Guys, what questions do you have for Nick, if any? Anything come to mind, questions, anything like that? Go ahead. We'll give you a minute here if anybody wants to speak up.
And really quick, I want to see Michelle, see James out there, HJB, good to have you. I know you've got some stuff to share, so I'd love to have you on video as well. I don't see any questions, Tom, so I think that, Well, Nick, man, hopefully you sound kind of down. You okay?
Yeah, I'm all right. It's a little disappointing, right? I wanted to come to the meeting and have things are going great, but it's not quite the situation. So
yeah,
we'll have to reserve that for another time.
Just makes it sweeter.
Yeah, I believe it.
Yeah.
I have a question, Nick. Actually, as an entrepreneur, I'm sure you have other ideas. So, I mean, what are you thinking about going with next?
I'm at the reevaluation stage completely. I don't want to jump into anything new without thinking it through. So there's a lot of things mulling in this little brain of mine, but it's still, I'm just reevaluating at the moment. It's still pretty new to me too, right? It hasn't been that long since I figured out for sure that we're dead in the water. So I'm not sure yet.
Well, yeah, like Antonio said, man, I mean, we go through ups and downs, and then not everything's successful, and that'll make it sweeter in the end, but you've also learned some valuable lessons, and I think, I hope one of the big takeaways, too, is validation as early as possible, too. I think going, being, as cost-effective as you can is important, but how quickly can you validate the idea? Because here's the deal, too, when you consider, where you go next from here, is if the demand is there, legitimately there, if you did learn that, if you were able to validate the demand is there, then that should factor into your decision, I think, going forward, whether to pursue it again. Because what you do have then is a database of at least a couple hundred people, people that you could potentially reach out to be early adopters for, the new software if you wanted to pursue it again, if you think you've validated it that way. Otherwise, what I say, that's a big takeaway for me when I hear that, I'm like, yeah, I mean, software is painful, but also the validation to make sure that this is something that there's be enough demand to make up for the cost of development.
Yeah, and in terms of validation, I think that the idea is validated. I think, in Canada, we had three other companies that came out this year doing something very, very similar, very close. My concern is competitiveness in the marketplace. And just that cost. I mean, you gotta hit it right. I'm not sure that I could pull that off.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, with the right team, it's gonna work out really well. But But the in terms of what Zach Bob's saying, the next thing I want to do is just like the things you guys are talking about all the time, a validated product with a minimum viable product up front quick and move things along. I don't want to – I was sitting in this position. I know I started before we were in the mastermind and everything, but in a position where I had a big product and I was making a product that I couldn't validate till the product existed, and everything hinged on this one product that was a big investment product. And so I'd like to kind of start off with something a little leaner, a little meaner, and a little more validated right up front. All the stuff that we've learned through this mastermind, I would have liked to have known maybe before I got into this other thing, but
totally.
It was fun just the same.
Hey, Nick, you know, crowdfunding is a great way to test an MVP.
Yes. Yeah. Of course, that Sackbot right there. Yeah, I love it. I'd love to do something crowdfunded in the future. That'd be great.
Think of something. Contact me.
We'll do that.
I like it. Cool. Well, I'd like to move on to HJB. How's it going, man? I think you're muted right now.
Yeah, it's hard to talk when you're muted. Okay.
Can you give us an update? Right. We'd love to hear where you're at.
Yeah, we're I'd worked with Antonio a little bit on kind of getting my niche down a little bit better, and we had come up with Unstuck, being like focusing on Unstuck, how to get unstuck. Antonio, but during that time, I've kind of honed it down even more. I'm looking now at focusing on midlife empowerment. And what that involves is helping people who, you know, they've had lives and careers. They're kind of stuck in the middle because they got their children growing now, and they're dealing with, you know, parents, elderly parents, and there's a lot of issues involved there. So I'm looking at probably putting together some programs, some material. That it's going to take some work. Rebuilding that. But the second thing I've been working on is just learning this online thing. And that's I took on a new program with somebody had developed, and they had a lot of bugs. So that was frustrating me. So that's kind of where I've been.
Okay, so take us into the new vision. What are where are you at with it, and what are the next steps?
Well, what I'm looking at first of all is probably putting together either a blog or a podcast. I'm trying to decide which way to develop first with that. And at the same time, working on material, I'm going to try to probably do some workshops with material that I'm developing and I'm trying to build. But I don't want to get too broad. I want to kind of get a little focused area first, and then kind of once I get a real clear focused area that I begin to work on that meets people's needs, and then I'll expand from there as I hear more, identify problems better. But I definitely want to be problem focused versus just what I see as issues.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about that kind of mindset when you say problem focused. Like, what does that mean practically speaking?
Well, it means what are people dealing with? I have some people right now that are dealing with trying to find a new purpose in life. You know, they've kind of done things, you know, gotten jobs, worked, but now they're, you know, retiring, getting ready to go into a new area, and they don't know what that is. You know, they have dreams, but sometimes they don't know where to go with that. I have people who are dealing with, you know, they're working, but at the same time, they have a lot of issues like special needs situations with children and things of that nature. So what I'm trying to do is basically put something together that helps identify, provide solutions, resources to help people to work through these matters where they are in their new season of life, because it's a different season. It's a, it's one that, you know, I'm going to have to do more research, obviously, in terms of, you know, getting more up on what's going on, because everybody's situation is a little different. But like I said, those are kind of the things that I feel I'm more in touch with, I'm more in tune with, and that I could be a better help in dealing with.
Awesome. So are you struggling with any parts of this right now? Any particular challenges you're dealing with?
The online part is most difficult right now, because I'm trying to build an email list. I would like to have some sort of a product or service that I could provide, but that's kind of, it might be a little bit outside of the focus, so I'm trying to hone in. Okay, I know this is definitely what I want to do, and now just a matter of how to market it, how to, you know, because, you know, to make it a viable product and service, membership site or something, what I'm going to do with that.
Gotcha. Yeah, I guess, you know, is there, I guess when I hear something like that, I think that it sounds like that, that the challenge, it sounds like a lot of different challenges. My question would be to you, what will be the simplest next step? Like, what's the most important, not even simplest, scratch that, what's the most important next step to get where you want to go?
I think for me right now, it's just getting out there and talking with people and identifying what their needs are and then focusing on solving those needs. That to me would be the most important, because it's hands-on, it's getting directly from people what they need, and then I can build things from there, but it's just a matter of getting a settled mindset of, okay, what am I providing and how am I going to provide it?
And my question to you would be, if that's the most important next step, how do you go about doing that, reaching out to people and connecting with people, and then the next step solving their problems? But that first part, how do you envision that's going to go down, that you're going to be able to reach out to people, connect with them, and learn what their problems are?
There's some organizations, some business organizations that I belong to. I'm gonna show up and start identifying my, you know, what my what my role, position, or what I'm trying to, as a coach, as somebody there to help. I'm gonna, you know, start stepping up on that and identifying more clearly. As I said, I may just need to pick a specific area and just identify that, and then provide a workshop on that, and then, you know, go from there. It's kind of like, you know, getting in the pool. I just got to jump in and start working it.
So my challenge to you is there any way that you can set a date to do this and a kind of a goal for that metric? For, so say I'm going to talk to 10 people in the next week. Do you think that's reasonable? Tell me a little bit about that. What are your actionable next steps?
Yes, I will. The first, I guess, in terms of what you're saying, what I need to do is get with a business organization. There is one that's having a meeting, and meet with them and kind of like put together what I'm trying to do so that I, you know, I have something, and then go from there and then start talking to people. So I can do that. I can do that starting, what is this week? Maybe within 2 weeks, I would say a 2-week goal to have established a meeting and having sat down and talked and identified, you know, a clear market of how I'm going to reach people, their needs, and identify maybe even some potential clients.
Awesome. That's great. Antonio, do you have any thoughts on this?
Nah, we had talked earlier, and I know that he had sent me, you know, HJB, you had sent me some summary points of who your target market was going to be, who your avatar you're going to go after, how you're going to, you know, in a sense, what service you're going to provide. Did you have anything that you had added there? And maybe you want to re-clarify the kind of the pivot that you've made and exactly like what the perfect customer looks like for you.
I kind of like have an idea in my mind. I mean, I can say age range, evidently, obviously it's 50 if I'm talking midlife, but I would limit it to within like maybe 65 or so.
And what about your, I mean, you're going after, I mean, what's the word that you're going after? So the whole idea is to get people unstuck, right?
Unstuck and empowered. I don't want to just get them unstuck, but I want to get them moving, okay, to develop a new purpose where they are. You know, I always have the image of the older woman or man sitting at the Walmart at the Walmart front, and I think that's great. I think that's a purpose. It gives them, you know, they're reaching out. But I also want to provide, you know, a better way of going in terms of how they can take their skills, what they've done, where they've been, and share that with people that need that. I feel they have a lot of experience that they need to give and to share.
And does your target market, are they a person of faith, or are they a non-believer?
I think for me, I'm a person of faith, but I think the main thing is problems and situations involve everybody. But I would keep my identity as to who I am. I would not lose that, but I'm not trying to push that on anybody. I'm just simply saying solving problems, loving people, giving them hope, giving them purpose, empowering them is for everybody.
Well, when I remember reading some of your solutions and stuff, I mean, they had a very strong religious, a very strong Christian tone to them. So if you, part of that's going to be part of your message, and I think you would naturally attract someone that, has maybe a strong faith. But I just want to make sure, because it's going to be something if somebody comes into your service and they're like sight unseen, they were recommended from a friend, but they didn't all of a sudden know. It's kind of like, if somebody walks into a meeting and they didn't realize that that what they were going to be involved with was it had a very strong religious tone to it. And for some people, that may not be something they want. So but other people are drawn to that. They literally want that as part of the service.
Well, that's a good question. My thoughts in terms of when I hear that, when I think about, okay, I don't consider myself religious. I have a relationship, okay, mm-hmm. a relationship with God, and it happens to be through Jesus Christ, okay. Mm-hmm. But the essence of Jesus' message was love, helping people. He didn't go about talking about, you got to be religious. He just said, help others, help those that are widowless, those that are orphans, all those things. And just, so I see that as my formula. Now, if they want to go deeper into, okay, how do I follow the Lord or what do I believe, I can provide that. I would make that an opportunity, but that's not my sole focus neither. It's still because, it's not just about being religious. It's about having a relationship, loving others, being there to help people. But at the same time, this is going to be a business because the fact is I'm trying to help provide a service, and so I don't want to just be limiting to you got to be a certain faith. That's what I'm trying to say. And does that sound right to do that? I mean, does that sound viable? That's the question.
I don't know. I would say that there's I look at Casey over at the Rocket Company. He was a big guy over in Icon, and he targeted specifically certain types of churches and religions that he would come in and help churches become more profitable. He didn't go after he didn't go after Roman Catholic. He didn't go after these other ones because they had certain guidelines that they couldn't use his services. And also he was a former pastor. So for him, it was something that he was able to speak to them deeper. I'm just kind of worried. That we initially talked about the unstuck chaplain, which it looks like you've changed a little bit from that. Which, by the way, unstuck and empowered. Did you grab that URL yet?
Yeah, I got midlife empowerment. I have that URL.
I really like unstuck and empowered, but I thought that was really catchy what you said, and I like it. But unstuck and empowered. The only thing is it's kind of hard to – maybe if you use the unstuck empowered, you could probably just – unstuck empower. I'm trying to think of something short. I like it. Where you can tell people what you do and what you stand for in that elevator pitch. Really quick, you got them. But I just don't want you to dilute it so much that it doesn't have a taste because you want – you want your business not to be right for 90, it's better to be right for that small percentage that says, this is exactly what I'm looking for and I'm going to pay you money, than if you are lukewarm and it's like, oh yeah, he works with everybody and he's got a product for everybody. I mean, that's Walmart and you can't out Walmart. But what you can do is you can zero in and eventually you can break out of that. It just sounds like your message has gotten a little bit more diluted versus it being, I remember we were talking, it was going to be, veterans, they will have served or they will be related to somebody that has served. There'll be a spouse or something. So you've got that group or, and then it was within that they were going to have, perhaps be, have a strong, have a strong relationship, you know, with the Lord. So these were all things which there are many viable businesses built off of this and within this. But and if you can eventually expand out, but I just feel that you're maybe trying to be now too broad, and you're not you're losing that laser focus that you had.
Yeah, I feel like I'm kind of like I didn't tell you I'm also getting involved with the DAV, Disabled American Veterans. So that's in a sense, is in terms of answering the question you asked, Tom, that's another thing, a group that I'm getting with and helping to meet some needs. I'm kind of, if it's fair to say this, I'm kind of walking this out, getting clarity as I'm moving. But the point is that I'm moving versus you could just sit there thinking and never get anywhere. At least now my big thing is just take some action, and if I take action, I'll get clarity as I go. But even getting on this call, knowing where I was, that was a big step, because, I mean, I heard you, Nick, saying he didn't want to get on because of, you know, things that happened. That's a hard thing when you don't have clarity. I'm up with all these high speeders, and I'm like, okay, I'm still trying to figure this out, but it's okay. That's why I'm glad I showed up. It's okay, and what you're giving me is good advice. I do need to get... I need to answer those questions of how am I dealing with people of faith or am not? How am I dealing with what specific group? You know, those are good things that I'm writing down, I'm taking note, and I will run with that.
We're just going to challenge you, HJB. You know, that's the thing. It's like we're just not going to pat you on the back and tell you, you know, that's what your family's for and everyone, all your friends. We're just going to say, nah, man, that stinks. Like, not, nah, but it doesn't. Like, I've already had this meeting with you. You're doing good.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering, I mean, you've already written a book. You're great at getting content out there. I'm wondering, you know, one way to test is to see how something does when you talk about it. I mean, you want something that is going to strike emotion. It's going to get people to react. I'm curious, Tom, have you seen anyone go on to like, are you familiar with Medium, Tom? The open platform for putting articles and stuff on?
Yeah, I had an early article that went viral totally randomly on it. So yes, I am. I haven't used it since, but it worked for me in the beginning.
Yeah, well, I mean, so when that went viral, what was the article about? Curious.
It was on pay what you want pricing.
So it's safe to say that when you saw that strike a chord with people, and congratulations, I saw you were featured, what, in Inc. the other day?
Rock on. Pay what you want pricing, correct.
Yeah, it's like people just keep coming to you for that. It's like what you've been coming, maybe for good or bad. I don't know if that's what you want. But for HJB, man, it may be something that you put out, like you put out your message and you have to tighten it up, but you simply put it out there on a platform like that. And you see, is there a reaction or not? It's funny, over at High Speed Low Drag, we have an article about, like, I think it's 9 bad habits you pick up in the military. It's like, it's always our best article. I don't know why, but people focus in on the negative, and that article gets half of our traffic at that website. And, you know, if I wanted to create more, I probably would create more stuff that talks about the military and bad habits, because that's what people seem to like. They seem to pass around. But you can, you know, you don't have to put out another book, but you could simply put out some of the content, fleshing out some of your ideas about maybe put together that we've talked about, maybe having a 10-point system for helping people get unstuck and empowered. And you literally take them from, I just saw this picture the other day. It's got 10 guys sitting on a staircase, and at the bottom, there's the one guy that's looking down and saying, I can't. And at the very top, that same guy is, I just did it. And throughout the process are the 10 like affirmations that the guy has to go through to get to from head down to I can't to I just did it kind of thing. He goes from I think I can to or I want to I think I can to I'm going to give it a try to hey, it's happening. And then all of a sudden he does it. But it's very easy to see something like that and understand. And I mean, if you had a simple 10-step process that you put out there on Medium on how to get unstuck and you wrote it, I mean, that could be the cornerstone of you even just very lightly testing your idea and seeing. And Medium is a platform that anyone could put something on. And the cool part about it is you could even put up a Facebook, use Facebook ads to promote traffic to it probably. And then you could even tell, does anyone even care about this? Because what you want to find are those people that as soon as they start reading this, they're like, oh man, this is friggin' awesome. This is exactly what I needed. And then when you see that, it only costs you $100 for a paid post, and you're able to very quickly tell, does this thing have legs or does no one honestly care about it?
Okay. So you're saying to look at this Medium, it's called Medium?
Yeah, medium.com.
Yeah.
Okay, so, I see.
Yep.
Got it.
Because what's cool is you have a lot of readers already on it. So instead of, I believe everything, you know, like I would never encourage like someone to build their entire platform on Medium per se. What you can do is leverage it. And so what Antonio is saying is use it in a way to leverage it. So there's an example, my article, and it was just an article about pay what you want pricing. This was before I had launched my book. I since updated the post to go directly to my book. So if you scroll all the way down to the bottom, it's now a sales pitch for my book. And because it went viral, it's gotten tens of thousands of hits and reads, and now it goes straight into my sales funnel. Or I send them to my course or my book or something like that. So that's how I leveraged it. And it was a great way in the beginning when I was still trying to get traction for the pay what you want concept to put it on there and then validate that. And since then, and by the way, and this is another reason that I am a big fan of focus, is pay what you want is either an awesome idea or it's completely ridiculous. It's either an idea that is like people are like, that's kind of cool, I'm really into that, or it's repugnant and they're like, well, that's like horrible idea, that's really stupid. And it's important that it does that because it repels the people I don't care about. And it attracts a certain kind of person who's into that. Because I focused. If I just said, here are some pricing strategies, people would be like, take it or leave it, whatever. But no, I'm saying, here's pay what you want pricing. It's this particular type of, and it's what I focused on. I wrote a book about it. And because of that, I wrote a book. It wasn't a huge book. It was pretty easy to write. I wrote articles about it. I got featured. Now I've been featured in Inc. But I've been featured in Growth Hacker TV next to like the founders of Twitter and stuff like that. Ridiculous. Like, it doesn't even make sense that I was featured next to them. But I focused in on the super niche thing. And it was like compelling because nobody else was writing on this. And it's just a way that for me was to get a foot in the door with some topic that nobody else was talking about, but other people were using. And I just put my research hat on, like I was a college student reading a paper on something. And I said, hey, I'm going to research this subject. I'm going to learn everything there is about it. I'll become the guy on pay what you want pricing. And that's what happened. And that took about a year, by the way. So a year, year and a half. So
it took a year to completely develop all that and put that together?
Not that blog post in particular, but to do the research, to start experimenting, and to create content around, and then kind of build my platform around pay what you want pricing. It's not what I do now, but it got my foot in the door into a ton of media outlets. So, I've since shifted to other things, but I would say it took me about a year to really build my platform around that topic. Arguably less time, maybe in 6 months' time, but it took me a little while to write the book and get everything created for it.
So I want to show you, so I haven't even looked at this for years, but this just got me thinking about where I started writing. Initially, I heard about a woman named, what was her name? Something Brown, Allie Brown or something. No, that's not right. I don't remember her name. In any case, I heard she was like an e-zine queen, and this was a great place because I didn't really get much traffic to any of my platforms yet. I didn't even have a platform, but I knew I was interested and I wanted to get traffic to my little custom clothier. So I started writing over at these e-zine articles because they would allow anyone to put up. Now, I would say that don't start here because this has been killed by Google, doesn't get nearly as much traffic. But I put out, I mean, I wrote a lot of great content and I put it out here. And it simply sent traffic. It actually did send leads. But I think the most important part is every time I do an interview, every time I create a course, every time I talk about men's style, I can do so because back in 2007, 2008, I spent a lot of time writing and putting all of my thoughts in order. And so for, 8 years later, I'm saying the same things in a lot of my podcasts or when people have me interview. But because I've written it out and I've thought this out multiple times, I have no problem talking about this in very strict, concise points. And so for you to be able to go in and use Medium, as a modern version of this, I got 113,000 views. So it's not my website. I didn't get any money from it. E-zine, I think, even used to pay me a little bit of money. They don't pay me. I think they stopped paying people. But in any case, you've got a platform here where you can put out something before you. And so there's no excuse of, you don't need a website. right now. Just put something here. And it's not about it's not even about the numbers. It's simply about clarifying your thoughts into the order that you need to, so that you can make a decision on whether or not this is something you want to pursue.
Okay, so based on what I'm hearing you're saying, if I start writing and putting my thoughts, it'll help me put my thoughts in order, and that is good. That's important. How do you, just because you put something out there, how do you connect that with everything else you're doing? I'm not quite grasping that. You just have this medium, boom, it's out there, and then how is it connecting with everything else?
Well, you post it on Facebook, and you share it with every single one of your friends, and you email
them.
I mean, that's what I did when I launched my first Facebook page. I mean, to me, if you're too proud to like spam your mom or your friends, I mean, it's like, come on, that's what they expect. And so you pass it around to your family, your kids, and you say, hey, this is I'm putting together some thoughts and ideas. Let me know what you think. So you get those views up to 10, and then you ask, you try to pass it on a few groups. You get those views up to 100. And then if you can get them up to a few hundred more, get them to a few other groups, you may find, it, especially if it resonates with people, if it strikes a chord with people, they'll pass it on to their friends. Or worst case, you put in a lot of work and you even pay to promote it and nobody cares. And then guess what? You know that either you need to do better headlines or that nobody cares. And it's better to know now than it is to spend, you know, 2 years working on something and find out nobody cares.
That's true. Okay. All right, so put together some sort of a 10-point system. Write out an article and put it on a medium on a platform like Medium, and that'll be my goal, and also to meet with some people in 2 weeks and begin getting further clarity and further focus on what it is that I'm trying to reach and who I'm trying to reach.
Yeah. I'll say this too, an interesting kind of sidebar to this is when you use a platform like Medium, especially when you're just getting started, for whatever reason, people are more willing to read a Medium article than they are to go to your website. Or maybe not read, but what's that?
They don't feel they're being sold to. And it feels like right now it has a feeling of a bit of authority. And I didn't even know I didn't even know what Medium was, but I feel that, the name of it kind of describes it. Just something that they're not trying to advertise, but they've got a message and you just go there to read it. There's no.
So it gives you that extra leverage and the chance where people aren't going to feel as like, I don't know, it's weird that people have these bizarre like shields up to keep them from like going, like I'll write a great article on my own website, but then like I'll get a reference on Business Insider or something like that, and everybody shares that, but nobody shares my main articles. Like, I don't know, I notice the difference. I'm like, that makes no sense, but people feel more comfortable sharing something like Medium, more comfortable sharing something from like a legitimate quote-unquote source. So again, as you're starting out, just testing ideas, great idea to use something like Medium and test it very simply and quickly to see if there's any take. Because if there's any take, it'll take on this.
Okay, that's good. Well, thank you. That's great advice.
Some people are just running their whole blogs on it. I don't know if that's a great business choice, but like I know it's the Basecamp blog is on. That's a business, of course, but like they put their blog on there. So I don't know. It's an interesting platform, but yeah, I definitely encourage you to look into it. So, awesome, HJB. It's great to hear from you. And do you have any questions for us?
No, I just got to take some steps, and then I'll come back and let you know some feedback as to what I get out of that. That's the key thing. Like I said, one of the keys to getting unstuck is you got to figure out how to take action. So this motivates me and gets me going.
Yep. That's awesome.
Hey, Tom, really quick, I wanted to give the floor to is he still out there? Dave Berlin. I know we and you had talked about one way that we wanted to highlight some of the guys here in High Speed Elite, and we wanted to get their feedback and see who'd be interested in doing this quick little program with us.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yep.
Yep.
Okay. My idea was I've been working on the social media for about 3 or 4 weeks now, for all the high speed low drag social media, As we start rounding out this class and starting to get prepared for the next round of Mastermind, I really wanted to use the social media platform that we've created to start highlighting some of the individuals in the group, success stories, some case studies, idea to implementation, quotes that you guys feel are relevant, things like that, to give you guys a little bit of a platform to stand on. From the user experience, people are going to start to see those stories and say, hey, I'm a veteran, I'm an entrepreneur, how did these guys get involved with this? And they're going to be a little bit more apt to check out what the whole group is about. So I just wanted to see what your guys' thoughts were on that, anything you guys want to see from social media that you think would be of value.
Tom, you got a question?
I was gonna ask, are we soliciting from everybody, or do we want to go like one by one through people, or what's the best way to do it, Dave?
So the goal would be to get, and again, we had just talked about this right before the call tonight. The idea would be to essentially do like almost an exit interview with everybody, and then we pull out all the information relevant from each person. And highlight them on a content strategy, that type of feel. Kind of re-release it back into the wild and see which ones we get the big hits on.
Awesome. Okay, and then so are you looking for then for people to kind of step up and volunteer and share their story?
Yeah, if there's anybody that would be interested to be one of the first case studies, I can. Simply what would help me, and I want to save your guys' time as much as possible, so if you guys trust me, I can come up with a few panel of questions and get some information out of a few guys, and then prepare it and pitch it back to you, and then you can thumbs up, thumbs down, and we can tweak it if we need to.
I love this idea. Well, Dave, I can help you fashion those questions too. We can talk about that to make it very easy for people to participate, so nobody gets to leave this call tonight until everybody volunteers.
I mean, one of the perfect examples, and he's right here, is Mike. Mike, I was just thinking, I mean, what you started with, I just remember early on when you first started the program, it was like you had certain questions and you were very like in this direction. And now it just seems like it's like, I mean, I'd love to hear, some updates from you, but it just seems like, hey, you're now much more targeted on who you're going after. Yeah, you still have some customers that you don't want, but you know that you don't want them, and you see your ideal customers, and in fact, you've been able to land a few of those. And it's, I think it was just very clear to me that you made a huge shift in your mindset of where you wanted to take it. And that's the stuff that I find, or I feel would be great to be able to capture in a 1 to 2 hour interview. And then I can take it and have it transcribed. We can go through and grab some of your best quotes, because you've always got some great, great quotes, Mike. And be able to take some of those quotes out, put them, next to you, maybe, pumping some iron or, doing some military presses there. And just have those quotes right next to you. And then put it out on social media, put it out there on the Facebook page. So in a sense, it gets to promote what you're doing. But at the same time, it gets to share your story, which I think is going to be a lot more relatable than if we were to talk about, oh yeah, I think Ramit Sethi just talked about how he just made $5 million in 1 week. Well, you know what? That's not really relatable to most people. They're going to see numbers like that, and they're like, oh, it sounds like another Wall Street story. It's just not something that we get along with or we understand. But to hear a guy go from, hey, like I got up to my first $1,000 in sales, and this is how I did it, and I worked my ass off, and now I'm going to double that and double it again, because I know my end goal, I want to get to, $12,000 a month. And, to see, it's just very approachable, relatable, and I think it would inspire a lot of vets. And the chipmunk voice is back, which I think is going to be key to like having, to maybe one of your soundtracks in the podcast, but not. All right, man. Yeah. You're going to probably have to kill it and come right back in. I knew that was going to happen.
That's funny. Cool. And guys, again, here, that's a great opportunity, by the way, to jump into a platform. If you, there's two ways to sell products. You either have an audience and you can sell directly to them. That's like the ultimate, should be the ultimate goal of all of you in here. The second way is to leverage other people's audiences and sell mm-hmm. through them. And that's done through advertising. It's done through guest posting. Sometimes you have to pay for it. Sometimes you work a connection. What we're giving the opportunity here is to be a poster boy for High Speed Elite, High Speed Low Drag, that gets traffic already, that we'll put in front of a ton of people, that'll generate interest and buzz in what you're doing. So consider that. This is a great way. Any type of thing where you get profiled is always a smart thing to take advantage of if you can. I would recommend it. It's cool. So I know we're waiting for Mike to come back. Mike, can you talk now?
Am I chipmunking now?
No, you're good. Awesome.
Thank you.
Give us an update.
Yeah, it's my computer microphone compared to the Logitech webcam, the great webcam that I have for free. So I got a ton of stuff, so I was just kind of waiting, but first of all, like Antonio was talking about with like how getting clients and confidence and mindset shift and just basically just taking control of your life and figuring out what direction you want to take, I figured that, you know, I have 3 or 4 coaches, and, you know, it's not saying that Tom and Antonio don't know what they're talking about. It just didn't fit the situation at the time to what I needed. It was too high level for what I needed. So I figured it kind of sparked when Antonio was saying the only metric you have, it was either Tom or Antonio said it was the only metric you have is direct sales. And then I was kind of like, well, this doesn't make any sense. I'm not using land pages. I'm not advertising on social media. So I just started selling to people, and that's what I do every day. So I started selling 7 days a week in a gym. Then I went from 5 clients to 17. Within a month or two, and I've literally been selling my ass off. All I do is follow people, I talk to people, I get people. Like yesterday I sold a $2,000 contract in 15 minutes. I didn't even work the guy out. It was just, I got a $5,000 contract online with a nurse in Birmingham by a referral. First year contract I've ever gotten, so I've doubled and tripled my income in no time. And I know I'm going to be making figures within a year. I know it. I'm already on it. And I'm not worried about it. I'm not worried about money anymore. Thanks to you guys. But so the next part would be I've got 2 projects lined up. I'm going to start podcasting with J-Bear. Is one. This idea came out of nowhere because we have accountability calls every 2 days. We usually pick 2 days out of the week for 30 minutes to an hour. And it kind of came about when we both went on 16personalities.com, basically getting our personality profiles, and found out I was polar opposite of her, but we both had the same mindset. The only difference is I'm extroverted and she's introverted. So when we talk about things, I found out that her mindset goes into personal training. You know, there's personal and there's training, and I go into more coaching with people. So I was thinking, like, why couldn't we make our talks monetized or at least put the content out there to get people to funnel them into an email list? So I've been listening to John Lee Dumas's free podcasting courses, and I'm going to start doing that. And that's in the works. And then on top of that, there's going to be a summit with a panel of 10 experts I'm going to put on. There'll also be a funnel for the email list that I'm going to build off of a landing page, like Nick was talking about. I'm going to revamp my website. I'm going to change to AWeber from MailChimp because it's better. I'm already in the talks with people, and it's going to be launching in July 5th is the launch date. So June is going to be nothing but promotion, but July 5th is going to be the launch date for the summit, and we're kind of going over ideas, but it's going to base around mindset, fitness, and nutrition. So those basic ones, the biggest one's mindset. So that's going to be something new most people don't talk about, and that's what I'm going to add to the table to make myself unique. with a panel of 10 random people. Hopefully I can hit average of 50,000 subscribers, you know, 5,000 per person bare minimum, and then, you know, build my list of a few hundred people starting off there, and then actually have, you know, my own tribe, which I'm trying to build at this point. So that's kind of like my goal, and to get out of the gym forever and never have to train anybody in person again within the next year. You know, so I'll be making $60,000 a year within next 5 to 6 months. So I'll hit my goal for 2016. I can get that with 12 clients. I already have 4. So StyleCon, I plan on getting another 5. I've already talked to 2. And Antonio saw that I already started adding a, kind of like a seminar, maybe Sunday. I'll change it around to fit whoever doesn't want to go party with Ryan. I'm sure I can convince people, because as soon as I talk to them, I can make money. I know this. So, that's pretty much all I got so far. I got a lot, but I don't really sit down very much. Constantly moving.
I love it, Mike, and that's why we're gonna have you definitely on. You know, talk with Dave. So Dave and Mike, you guys definitely set up a time to talk. I think, and Tom, it sounds like you're working on them with the questions.
Yeah, we'll structure it. I think there's ways we can make this nice and easy for you guys. So all you have to do is just kind of answer questions, and we'll put it together. We'll pull the information and stuff like that. So I love that story. I love to hear that, Mike. It makes me very proud. So awesome, very cool, and very excited to get the story out there and share with more people.
Well, I was just grabbing a few notes just so you guys know what we'll be throwing back out, but I just started selling to people. I went from 5 clients to 17. I have doubled and tripled my income in a few months. Those are just like a few of the takeaways. So for people that are coming across that out on social media, that's definitely going to be it's not going to be overwhelming like the $1 billion on Wall Street. It's going to be like, oh, what is this again? And that's what we're going for.
Awesome. I love it. So I'll get with you, Dave, and we'll go through that and get that to Mike, and then again to all you guys too. When you're ready and when you want to be featured, we'll make sure that happens.
I definitely think people should realize, though, that it's a lot about personal drive and action. It's not all just high-speed elite that did that. Because if I didn't do direct sales and personal selling like I did, and I wasn't doing it every single day for 5 to 6 hours, I wouldn't be where I'm at. Like, I mean, that's the hard part of the hard work that comes in, and part of not sitting my ass and looking at YouTube videos for 5 hours, or looking at politics and wondering or giving crap what Trump's doing, like all that stuff, you know, like actually not working and being what an entrepreneur is supposed to be, getting mad at myself when I wake up and don't follow the schedule I set up, you know, following up on leads one time a day, reading 15 minutes a day, bare minimum, reading a book, learning something new, engaging people, setting up times to talk. Not being afraid to talk to Antonio, you know, the first time, you know, talking to people at high levels. Like,
well, I remember when you did that survey and you dressed up, and almost 90% of people, 95% of people just like ignored you, walked away. And it was like, and you talked about it like, oh yeah, okay, well, I just dealt with those rejections and I kept going. And that's when I'm like, yeah, he's going to do well. Yeah. That's you got to have that mindset. You got to be like, I don't care if I've got to talk to 1,000 people to get 50 to talk to me.
That's how I know I'm gonna smash at StyleCon, because the only other guy I have in my way is your best friend Ryan. Not Ryan, but what's his name? I'm forgetting off the top of my head. There's only one fitness guy. There's one fitness guy. There's nobody else doing what I'm doing.
Right. Well, there's Ryan Masters, there's Ted Rice. They're both speakers. But honestly, neither of them are going after, like, they don't take individual clients, either of them.
Yeah, I'm my personalized service no one else is doing. So it's like, you just threw a megalodon into a fish thing, a bunch of dolphins. I'm gonna eat everybody. Like, I'm not worried about it. It's just
remind me to get you up on stage, because I you know, you're a second year attendee, your style, you know, it's like, hey, I'll have fun. I'll let you even give a pitch. So make sure you got your 30-second elevator pitch.
I make people look good and feel good. That's my pitch. I'm a coach.
Good deal. All right, guys, let's go ahead. Where are we at? I know I'm going to have to head out of here here pretty soon, Tom. Let me see, who else do we have anyone else that that we need to pull up? I'm not seeing. We had Nick, HJB, Mike.
I know Michelle was out there for a second. I'd like to hear from her if she's available. Michelle, are you out there?
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry. Mute.
I'd love to hear an update from you if we could.
Well, I don't have the $1,000, the $1,000,000 and everything, but I have clarity, and I am thrilled. Tom, thank you for that tagline because I have been using it. So what I do is the same thing as Mike. I help women business owners look and feel as great as they already are. So I really like that. It's clear. It's to the point. I am the creator of the perfectly simple wardrobe canvas. I have taken the business model canvas and the lean canvas, and I have created a wardrobe canvas, and it is awesome. I took that, and because I deal with business women, they understand the need for a plan and a canvas. And so I've really been on YouTube, and you're welcome to go out there and look at my YouTubes, I mean my videos. And the last one, I've actually taken Wedmore, taken his steps, and actually done this last video. Yes, he talks about you a lot, Antonio, but I've actually done one using his platform on how you do it, and they're getting better and better. And because I know exactly what I'm talking about now and who I'm talking about, it is like, even my blogs are coming. I'm like three blogs ahead because it's just everything is just flowing now. So I'm really excited about that. And I'm starting to build a little tribe. So I have people that are referring me. I don't have the customer yet, but I know how important it is. Right now I'm trying to do, what do you call it, affiliates and stuff, just get in front of other people, audience, and get with other people and do webinars or podcasts, and trying to build my tribe so people really understand what it is I do, why it's so unique, what makes me different, and just build that tribe and that list. So I'm really focusing on the list building and the tribe building, getting people understand, like I said, my unique identifiers.
I love it. Awesome. So what are the next steps for you, or what are the biggest obstacles right now?
The biggest obstacle is I need to start learning to batch videos. That's really I'm learning to do the three different sections. I really break it up. I do my beginning, and then I do the middle where I really talk. I'm not doing really over 5 minutes, and then I have my in and my outtakes and the funny stuff that happens at the end. But I'm doing my editing, so it's just really taking a lot of time because not only do I do the video, but then I have to edit them, and I'm doing the newsletter, and I'm doing the blog, and I'm so when you're working two jobs, it's hard, but I'm hanging in there, you know. What's sleep? It's not important. But I'm loving it now because I just feel like I really have a focus, and I know who I want, and from the people that I do talk to, they're getting it. And I really found out that what women want is something simple, something they don't have to think about. It's that decision fatigue. I know, Antonio, you've talked about it, and the other guy with the pick in the nose and stuff, he talked about it. I can't remember his name. Your friend that does clothes too. You know who I'm talking about, but decision fatigue is a real big thing, and I'm really dealing with anchoring. I forgot who was it, you Mike, or it was somebody in here I talked to about anchoring and really understanding how to teach people to take their clothes and how they feel in that and put them in the space they need to be the person that they need to be. So it's just really cool.
That's awesome. Very cool. Is there anything that you have any questions about, or anything that you want to, you need help with right now? It sounds like you're on point right now.
And yeah, the funnel or the process for really building that list. Anything that I'm finally getting an understanding how important that is, that foundation. Because if you don't have a list, you're not in front of. Someone said to me tonight, they said, "Girl, your site is good. What you're talking about is great. You just need SEO or whatever. Nobody knows you're there." She says, "That's the problem." And so I know it's just really important that I start making a presence. My goal, Antonio, is to own my space on YouTube.
I love it.
Yeah, why not? But I would say, you know, practice those videos, because I was just watching one of my older videos from 5 years ago. Stiff. I mean, a lot of people say I'm still stiff, but I was much stiffer then. And, you know, you want to have fun with it. Make it yours. Video, you can't hide anything. I find that it's a great medium. But don't be afraid to, again, you know, the hard question is, what are people going to pay for? And focus in on that. Make sure, that's a mistake I made. I created content, and I still get requests from 17-year-old kids that want me to create content for young people. But I'm very careful about that, because I know it'll get some good views, but it's not going to bring me the ideal. I mean, if you create that kind of content, you're going to attract that type of audience, and that's not the customer I'm looking to bring in. So oftentimes I'll go for lower numbers in my videos, although I will do a high number video that I know will do well, but I do the lower ones because I know that it's going to attract a very specific type of audience.
Right. One of the things, like a lot of the, I'm starting to do more, networking events too. And the people that I'm meeting are business. One of the ladies, she has her own landscaping business. And so one lady, I said, has a book. And these are the type of people that I'm meeting, and they really seem interested. Like you said, I need to have one ready to just put the money down. So that's what I'm looking to hone in on, what it is they're really willing to buy, to pay for.
Good stuff. I love it. I want to see, is there anybody that we missed out there? James? James, are you on? I don't know
if we've let you. Yeah. Hey, Tom, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, cool. Hey, guys, I know we're getting towards the end of the call, too, so, you know, keep it quicker, but I know this is my first check-in in a while, guys, and I can't just say, I just have to take a moment, and, you know, this is my first time hearing some of your guys' stories, and it just fired me up, man. Like, I heard somebody talking about how they almost felt like they don't even want to get on the call sometimes because they feel like when they show up, there's nothing to show, and I can relate to that, right? I mean, this is the first call I've been on in a while, but I just have to say, guys, seriously, like, Nick and every one of your stories, like, you were on the right track. Like, Nick, you were struggling so hard, but I was just, like, smiling because it just reminded me of my own journey. Hell, I feel like how you feel, but I've been at it for about 5 years now. So I just wanted to say that, guys. You guys are all doing some really cool stuff, and I mean it. I could just tell. Antonio, just to kind of catch you up, it's been a while, but Tom was in San Diego a few months back for John's book release, and I got to meet with him. And as a result of that, it was so powerful. One dinner, but I made a decision to essentially quit my company and start a new one and compete in the same space. And Tom, really just the short rundown there is that dinner, like, I left that night just on fire about what to laser in on. So maybe, Antonio, how you kind of told me the pit bull concept. You know, when you find that one thing, you pit bull on it. And so anyways, after I met with Tom and he just provided some coaching, some outside looking into my situation and said, hey, you're at a pivot point, but why are you going to switch your industry? Do what you do and just kick ass in your industry. And since then, it's just given me ultimate clarity. So I heard some of you guys kind of talk about that point in your journey where it's starting to flow a bit more and you just kind of really embrace the journey and kind of get over the struggles. So that's been what's up with me. So I just got all the legal stuff taken care of for the new business. I anticipate next week my own site being finished. And my next steps, Tom, are really to create the free course for the whole Google platform we were talking about, the free training that's really just blowing up my industry. So my next steps after my site is complete is to turn right around and build that free course and then start to expose that free course as much as possible.
Awesome. I love it. And what are your any challenges you're going through right now that you want to talk about?
Yeah, I think maybe my biggest challenge is some of my initial problems with my first company is I've landed a couple of deals out of necessity. I mean, they're blessings. So, you know, you turn right back around and start building out clients' businesses. That starts to really suck in my time. But specifically, Tom, it's kind of, I think you, the concept Seth Godin has when there's so many things to do, but you only focus on the most critical one at a time. So I think after my course is completed, I believe that's my most next critical step. But what would be just like the thought process or framework to always keep that top of mind, to identify what the next critical step is and only put the time and energy into that. I kind of seem to be all over the place sometimes, and I need to focus a little bit more.
And so I guess my question is, the fact that you recognize this then, is it actually a problem anymore, and it's just a matter of you just kind of doing it, or is there an actual like challenge that you can't overcome right now?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think, yeah, you know what? Yeah, I mean, I know what to focus on right now, so I think I'm good there. It's just I still sometimes find my, just trying to kind of find my energies and my focus dissipating over the multiple things that need to get done. But yeah, I don't know, the way you asked it, I think I do. I have my focus a lot more than I did, so.
I guess I'd say this is it's called the critical path.
Yes.
Everything in life has a critical path, and it's the key things that must be done, because if key thing number one is not done, key thing number two cannot start. And our brains, the enemy, the resistance that we experience, always wants us to work on the stupid stuff like logos and I don't know, you know, whatever, stuff that's completely irrelevant to the critical path. So you need to think about what is the critical path, and if you're wondering, if you can't figure out what the critical path is, ask yourself, what is the most uncomfortable, hardest next step? And that's probably the critical path. So I think for you, it's a matter of looking at writing it down and saying, what are all the things I think I need to do right now? And Antonio's talked about this before, and I think he's written about it. We've definitely touched on this. It's the
and I suck at it, by the way. Let me just be clear. Like, I've got some critical path stuff that I have to do, and I'm just like thinking, damn it. Like,
yeah.
So it's a constant struggle. I mean,
constant.
Yeah.
And you talked about the I have it on my board now. It's the what is that, general? And the quad chart.
The Eisenhower matrix? Or
Eisenhower.
Priority matrix.
Yeah, so the Eisenhower matrix is kind of a good place to start. It kind of all is slightly like interconnected in terms of like if you just created like a list of...
How in the world, your army, how in the world did you not remember Eisenhower?
I've been out of the army for like 2 years, Antonio. I don't know if you know this.
I'm still quoting Clausewitz, so like I don't think it.
I respect that.
What? Like, come on, man, this is your base. Like, you went to West Point.
I'll wave that degree everywhere, but it doesn't mean I remember it.
You remember the guy that starts with a P? He had the like with the custom like revolvers with the white like ivory grips. You remember who that guy was? Patton.
Patton. So there's a movie about him, I heard.
Yeah.
So there you go. Using the Eisenhower matrix, I think, is a good starting point, too. So flesh out all the things you think you need to do right now. Look at the ones that either can be automated, can just be stricken from the record, like are essentially irrelevant right now. Look at the ones that could be delegated or automated. And then look at the ones that really are important. Like really important, and then define what those are in a line and say, I'm not moving on anything else until this one is done, and make each day one of those tasks until you get to where you need to go.
Have you ever heard of the Chesty Puller matrix?
I have not. Chesty yeah. Puller.
The Chesty Puller matrix. That one just says attack, 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 and attack.
Got it.
You have to read about Chesty in go to what was that? Korea. Yeah. His great quote.
I just Googled it.
Yeah, when they were surrounded by the Chinese, it was like, great, we can kill them in any direction.
Oh, my goodness, man. Well, Tom, what it really – thank you so much. And what the feedback kind of pointed for me specifically was courses. With your own business publishing empire and coming up with a course from scratch, obviously that's robust. But how did you – the process of determining how to take your thoughts and structure them into an outline?
I wrote it all out. I won't say it's necessarily the best thing. I'll also say that I don't know if I went through the best way possible to build a course because I started with like a broad concept, which a lot of people suggest not to. And my course hasn't done terrible. I have maybe like 60 or 70 students. But like it's also not – I think it has the potential to be like six-figure type course, and I just haven't put the time and effort into it. So I'll say that there's a lot of value in very small, hyper-focused courses. And then you just want to ask yourself, assuming the person is starting from scratch, what is, like, how do I go about this? And I think if you look at Udemy, look at any of the courses, you can kind of see how they're outlined. Just steal that structure. They'll usually start with, like, an intro overview, why it's important. Then they'll talk about tools and stuff like that that you need. Then they'll go into a chronological order of tasks that need to be completed to do it. And just like, I would just say look at other courses and just steal their structure. There's no reason to reinvent the wheel or try to like or rack your brain on how something should be structured. Look at what's already out there, pull from that, and realize that education and the structure of education never changes. People always learn things the same way. So we always need an intro. How does this apply to me, as in you, the speaker or the listener, the reader? And then give me the main tools I need and the main things I need to be aware of resource-wise, and then just get to it like chronologically. I mean, it is pretty simple, and I think that's a place to start. Just look at three or four course examples and say that's what I'm going to start with. Don't look at huge courses either. Don't look at mine. Look at, like I say, go to Udemy and look at the smaller, more focused courses.
Perfect.
Awesome.
Cool. So yeah, thank you so much, and I'll
totally.
I guess my next steps next week, just putting myself out there with the new site and getting some feedback on it. I'll go ahead and do that.
Awesome. Great having you here, James, and definitely give us some feedback on that. Hey, guys, quick admin note. I think we've covered everybody. Interject if we haven't covered or if you have a question. But real quick, I just want to call out some admin stuff. We have another call scheduled for 2 weeks from now. I'm not going to be there because I'll be running the world's largest virtual summit ever in the history of the world and breaking a Guinness World Record. So I'll tell you guys all about it after that. But I'm going to try to see if John will be able to attend. Antonio, I assume if neither of us are able to, you'll be able to facilitate, though, or we can push it left or right.
Yeah, we can look to I may bring on a special guest. There were some questions I think Nick was asking about raising funds, and some people talked about that. But so I've got a guy that I've been trying to get on to come in and talk about raising funds. And if not, we'll bring on another entrepreneur to share the story. But cool. I what I love about coming on here, even when you don't feel like it sometimes, is I always leave motivated. It's like just some great stories. And
yeah, heck yeah. Some
hey,
good,
this is Dave. I got one thing, guys.
Yeah, go for it.
So I've been a little off the map. I have been doing the social media stuff. It was almost 40. It was like right at 45 days ago that I took the leap and left my job so I could work on this whole thing full time. Website's up and going. I'm building out the consulting practice right now. Tomorrow morning is my first keynote that I set up that very first week that I left. So tomorrow's my first keynote. I'm speaking at, it's at a Rotary, but there's going to be a lot of top-level executives there that are going to be able to book me for other consulting and services. We're opening a new Costco in South Tulsa, and the whole leadership team from Costco is going to be there as well. So I may be able to get in on their grand opening and do some stuff with their team as well. So I've got that speaking event set up, just kind of a little high five table, some stuff that I've got in the pipeline. And then I have another lunch and learn set up for the first week of April with the leadership team from like US Cellular, Avis, and stuff like that for the headquarters office here in Tulsa, so I can potentially go and do some sales coaching and stuff for their call centers as well.
Dude, that's awesome.
So if you guys get a second, check out DaveMeansBusiness.com. I'd love everybody's feedback. I know a bunch of people did some of the beta testing just so I can make sure the loops and stuff worked on the first ConvertKit round, but if anybody wants to check out DaveMeansBusiness.com, shoot me any feedback, and then like and share any posts for social media that comes out for High Speed Low Drag.
Awesome. Very cool, Dave. Cool. All right, guys. Hey, it was great connecting again. Looking forward to connecting with you guys next time as soon as I'm available. And like I said, 2 weeks from now, we will have another call, and we'll keep you posted on who we'll bring in. And that's it for now. If you guys have any questions, of course, reach out. And I'm going to be pretty busy the next couple weeks, but if anybody's looking to get some one-on-one time, just let me know, and I'll see if I can fit you in, okay? I think that's all I got. Antonio, anything you got? Good to go? All right, guys. Have a good night.